last two times I was with you, I preached from down there. Thank you. Today, I'm going to preach from up here. And the sermon today is a different type of sermon. And you are intrigued because you don't even know what I'm going to talk about. The title of the message for today is, What is the Church? What is the church? I know you have lots of ideas, and some of you may be well grounded into this, but I think it is very important for us as members of the church to realize what a privilege we have. First, I want to thank God for the opportunity to be here with you today again. Secondly, I want to say how much I sincerely appreciate the Wayne Church. I love your worship. I love your praise team. One of these days, you know, I believe in the spirit of prophecy. And Ellen White says that on that special day, when we meet in glory, we will each have a harp. I can't play any instrument. I can only play it in Spanish, because in Spanish we don't say we play the organ. We say we touch the organ. Toco. I touch the piano, but I don't get no music. But Ellen White says we will not only play the harp perfectly, but we will all sing perfectly. My wife reminds me every now and again, when she needs to, that when I get the words right, I got the tune wrong. And when I get the tune right, then I get the words wrong. But there everything will be perfect. Thank you for inspiring us with your good music. Another thing I really appreciate of the Wayne Church, it's inclusiveness. I know churches not far away where you don't see kids on the platform, where you don't see young people involved in leadership. I believe this is something that is very, very important if we want to keep God's church alive. Amen? So let's pray. Our God, we praise you and we thank you. During this week, we had some tremendous storms. Today, we have a beautiful, glowing, beautiful sunshine. And we pray that the sunshine and the sunlight of Jesus Christ, through his word and through his spirit, will illuminate, enlighten our path, that you may be glorified and we may be sanctified. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the church? Number one, the church, when we studied preaching, they said you should say the negatives first. So the church is not a building. Are you with me? The church is not a building. Two, the church is not a club. Three, the church is not a hierarchy. I will give you three positives. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. The church is God's institution for the salvation and transformation of men, women, and children. Amen? All right, this is, in the nutshell, what we're going to talk about. So the church is not not the building. Now, the building will often reflect somewhat of the worshipers. Normally, a church building that is well kept will tell us something about the worshipers. A building that is not well kept will also tell us something about the worshipers, but the building is not the church. Regardless of how beautiful, how perfect the building may be, that building is going to be demolished sooner or later. But God's church, this military church, will become the triumphant church. Amen? The building, the church, is not a club. The church should provide mental, emotional stability. The church should provide security to all. But the church is not a social club. In other words, if the church is only provides good entertaining programs and activities, it's a nice place to hang out with nice people, then the church is a failure. The church is not a hierarchy where the clergy rules and the members obey. The church is not a hierarchy where dominating families control and others are stifled. The church is not a place where the financially blessed are the more educated dictates and all others fall in line or they are squeezed out. Rather, the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the husband of the church. The church is his bride. He loves the church so much that he gave his life for the church. You know, as men, we like what the Apostle Paul says about wives should be what? Subject to their husband as the church is subject to Christ. But we must remember to read and to follow what the scripture says. Because the scripture did not say husband must subject their wives to them. Rather, the command that the scripture gives us is, husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church and was willing to die for her. If you and I love our wives and we're willing to die for them, then they have no fear in what? Being submissive to us. Amen? And if we love our wives, we will not abuse them. Amen? So, the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a sobering thought. Why? Do you believe Christ really loves his bride? Think about it. The church is the apple of his eye. You know, some of us feel that we are doing God's will when we talk terrible things about the church. I want to assure you that it's easier for me to forgive you if you say something hard against me than if you say it against my wife. In fact, throughout my years of ministry, one of the things I have practiced is my wife will not have any office in the church where I am a pastor that will automatically make her a member of the board. I don't want to expose her. She is willing and ready to help in whatever way she can anywhere, but sometimes there are churches where there's too much competition for positions and for power. And I don't want my wife involved in that. As a pastor, I think I am sometimes a little too, overwhelming. I don't want the members of my immediate family to be on the board so we have extra power. No. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. We need to feel proud as members of the church. Don't ever allow the devil to lead you to the concept that you can be a good Christian, you don't need the church. Because the church was not instituted by men. It was instituted by God. And Acts chapter 2, verses 40, 41, verse 47, as we go down the line, it emphasizes that God added to the church daily those that were being saved. The church is not our savior, but it is God's instrument to lead us into a fellowship that will provide the social, emotional, mental, and spiritual atmosphere for us to grow as sons and daughters of God. Amen? The church is a place where you and I should remember that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of the frightening thoughts, one of the things that have impressed me most in my ministry of the words of Jesus is when he said, "Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me." We don't come to church to use and to take advantage of the weaker ones. We are here to love and to protect them and to build them. That's one of the reasons why I love the Wayne Church. We get our kids involved. We want them to know that we love them. And they have the right to share and partake with us. Amen? The church says, the Apostle Paul, is like a body, or key scripture for today, that have many different what? Many different what? Come on. Well, he speaks about the parts, but he, instead of saying parts, he called them members, trying to, you know, get into the ecclesiastic atmosphere. We don't call you a part. We call you a member. We are members of one body. Oh, my goodness. I have been to churches, I remember, and I'll never forget. Unfortunately, I have a bad memory for so many things, but some things stick there. We were at a board meeting, we went with the administration to a church board to talk about some stuff, and they spent a lot of time trying to emphasize and to impact us on how good they were at fighting. Intimidating. No. The enemy is not in here. Hello? The enemy is out there. Amen? We are different. God does not make photocopies. You don't have to think like me. The world would be very bad if that was so. God made us different, not for us to fight. This is one of the things I tell people that I do premarital counseling with. Don't ever hope that your husbands, and sometimes are your husband-to-be, and sometimes they even promise you, you know, I love you so much that as soon as we get married, I'm going to stop doing this. No, marriage is not going to change that. And you are deceived if you think that you are going to change them after you get married. We have been married for 40 plus years, and my wife is still trying. She's still losing the battle. I always try to tell her, I don't try to control your life. You do whatever you want. You are free. Marriage is not a bondage. Hello? My wife don't ask me permission to go anywhere. She's not my daughter. But I don't, it's the ladies' thing. They want you to do what they, one of the greatest complaints I've had from wives is, Pastor, my husband will listen to me. It's good to listen to each other, amen? But we also need to remember that in this atmosphere as a family, we don't become so overwhelming that everybody have to be subjected to us and our thoughts. That's not the way the church operates. There is one head in the church. That head is Jesus Christ. And if we are connected to the head, then the whole body will work in harmony and unity. I want to appeal to you in a very special way as members of the Wayne Church. Right now we are going through the election process. Consider seriously what you would like to do. I understand that tomorrow we'll be continuing our nominating committee. We haven't gone very far. If there is something God is impressing you to do, please let us know. Because we want to get through this process, because there's a lot of things we have to do still after the election process is over to be ready for January 1, 2020. Amen? But also consider that God has given you special talents. You are not here just by chance. Amen? You are here because God brought you here because Wayne Church needs you. That little thing that you think is insignificant can make a great difference. Committed and consecrated to God. Amen? I want to move along. The church will grow because, and maybe I should go into part number five. The church is God's institution for what? You remember that? The church is God's institution for the transformation and salvation of man. God brings us into the church, and the church helps to form us for the kingdom of God. The church is not belonging to the pastor. It's not belonging to the conference. We all belong to who? We all belong to who? To Jesus Christ. Now, I want to bring out some points here. Church belongs to God, and God adds the members to the church. Amen? The church is also authorized to accept those members. It is God's, why does God have this institution, this earthly institution? The children of God are supposed to live in order and in harmony. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
If we have a God that is an orderly God, then the church also is supposed to be what? Orderly church. Because the church's goal and hurt, as we saw this morning in our Sabbath school lesson, is to be like who? Be like who? Be like Jesus. Amen? I am not your model. You don't become a good Christian by modeling Pastor Pottinger. You become a good Christian by modeling Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't try to be like somebody else, because you are not somebody else. And parents, don't make the mistake to say to this child, why can't you be like this other child? Because they are not that other child. Each of us are different. We are different people. And that difference is important to build God's church, because we are not a commercial business where all size fit, one size fit all. On the contrary, if the church is going to be fitly placed together, then we have to have different shapes and different sizes so that we can become more compact. Amen? So the differences within us is to help us to join together more tightly. Am I making sense? Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. Colossians chapter what? Verses what? Somebody want to read that for me?
Who?
So, somehow or the other, let's look at Philippians 4 also. We saw one section in Colossians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, because I'm coming down to the conclusion, because we want to make a point that is very important. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 14. Somebody want to read? Okay, what did we get from these two texts? Follow me closely, because this is vital. The church is God's institution on earth. Amen? God is perfect. Amen? God is perfect. But the church is not. Hello? If the church was perfect, then we wouldn't be here. We don't need to be here. The reason for the church is for the perfecting of the saints. And if we are already perfect, then we're ready for glory. I have another sermon, I don't know if I get to preach that sermon here, entitled Working with Imperfect Leaders. Yes! Can't do everything one day. But the point that I want to make here is we are not perfect. God is perfect. The purpose of the church is to help us to be perfect, but we are not there yet. The church is like a hospital. Who goes to the hospital? And I want to make a difference. You see, when you go to the hospital because you're sick, a couple days later, the doctor may come and tell you something like this. You know you're doing well. Does that mean that you're well? Doing well does not mean that you're well. It just means that you're improving. When I was growing up in school, we learned this little verse rhyme that says, good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better best. Amen? We are here to grow, to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. We are here to become every day more and more like Jesus. When we go to the hospital, I told you the other day when I was here that my wife got in a situation where I had to rush her to the ER. She did not want to go because she does not like them. They have a hard time to find her veins. And they, you know, by the time she got back home, there was a big purple section on her arms. When we are sick, sometimes the doctor has to do things that hurt. My dad was unique in some very special ways. Until my dad died, he could not take a pill. He would drink 2-3 glasses of water, the pill would still be there. So my youngest sister, who is a nurse, would normally crush the pills and put it for him to be able to take it. My father did not like injections. And so he told us about the first time he went to the dentist where they had to pull a tooth. And because he did not like injection, and those were not the days when they would give you a little spray, those are the days when they would give you an injection in order to, what do you call it, you get anesthesia, right? He preferred for the dentist to pull the teeth out without anesthesia. Now, when the doctor has to do something that hurts, in order to get you our eye better, they use what? Anesthesia. To soften the pain. Amen? When the church has to do something that hurts, what do we use? We have to use love, gentleness, and compassion. In fact, the counsel of the apostle is when we have to do something like this, remember, tomorrow you may be on the other side. Here is where Jesus said, you know, when you have to do something like this, remember to treat them good. Do it the right way. Because tomorrow you may need somebody to come to you over something that is not right. So the church works in a loving atmosphere. Amen? I want to challenge the Wayne Seventh-day Adventist Church to remember, if you forget everything else we say today, the church's objective is to help us to be like Jesus. God is perfect, but we are not perfect. And that's why the church is not perfect. If you want, are you following me? If you want a loving, caring church, then you have to be a loving, caring person. If you want a lively, vibrant church, then you need to be a lively, vibrant member. Amen? If we want an active missionary church, then I have to be what? An active missionary person. Because the church is not going to be what we want it to be. The church is going to be what we are. Now, because the church is a reflection of Jesus Christ, is the bride of Jesus Christ, is the apple of his eye, then the church has to have high standards because God has high standards. Amen? My ways are not as your ways. My thoughts are not as your thoughts. My thoughts are what? Higher. God is not going to come down with his standards. Amen? He wants to bring us up to be like him. Members and leaders should behave properly. Amen? Amen? We should dress correctly. Amen? We should speak graciously. We should act lovingly. We should have no standards for people that want to come into this church. Whether they are black, white, whether they are well-dressed or they are poorly dressed, whether they have long hair or short hair or no hair, that has nothing to do. There should be no standard. Everybody should be able to come into this church, because whether you like it or not, even though you may have paid for the whole building, it is still not yours. It belongs to who? It belongs to God. And everybody needs to know that this church is here to serve this community in the name of God. We don't want deaconesses, elders, to be a hindrance, standing at the door to decide who can come in and who can't come in. No way. Amen? Everybody should always feel welcome in the Wayne Church. There's an allegory of a poor, untidy man who tried unsuccessfully, time after time, to worship in a physically well-kept church. He was seated, discouraged, on the stairs when somebody touched him on the shoulder and said, "I know you are discouraged, but don't worry. I also tried to get in and I couldn't. By the way, my name is Jesus." We want to be a reflection of Jesus in our church in every way possible. Amen? And today I want to extend an invitation. One, let's keep the fire burning. Amen? Our Sabbath school superintendent asked us to be here next Sabbath. What time? What time? Do you think God is a punctual God? Do you think because it's Sabbath morning we have the right to rest longer and it's all right to come anytime? I don't want you to feel bad, but I want you to know that the more we can be together, the more we can worship together, is the more we will grow together. Amen? And it is just nice. And I believe it is very inspiring to those who have to lead the Sabbath school not to be talking primarily to the Wood family, but rather to human beings. Am I right or wrong? Let's try to change what we need to change to make this a nice place. Amen? We are good, but it's not all right to remain good. Let's make our good better until we can make that better even the what? The best. Because we are doing this for who? For Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a church, I want you to know that we have open arms at Wayne for you. And I would dare to say, meet with anyone of the members of this church. Ask them to lead you to the clerk or one of the elders, and we will begin to help you to be a member of the Wayne Seventh-day Adventist Church. Amen? We thank you for coming, but we want you to be part of our family, because we believe together we can make it better. Amen? If you are not giving your heart completely to Jesus Christ, if you feel the Holy Spirit telling you it is time now to surrender everything to Jesus Christ, don't wait. Because it doesn't sound straight if you have a special friend who wants to marry you, and we insist that we love you, but we don't want to get married. It doesn't fit. Jesus wants to be officially your husband. Amen. It is not joining only to the family here. It is uniting primarily with Jesus and his people. There is a phrase that is used out there in the world about free love. I don't know that love can be free, because love binds like nothing else. If I really love you, I don't want you to be all over the place. No, I want to be as close as possible to you. Amen? And Jesus wants that for you and I. Amen? I will close with this thought. The secret of becoming like Jesus is to spend time with Jesus every day. This is what really makes us Christian. Not what we believe, but who we believe in. Christians can only be Christians as we continue to seek Jesus from the depths of our hearts. Let your prayer be, Lord, help me every day to be more and more and more like you. With that thought, I want to invite you to open your hymnals to our closing song, 302. 302.